Welcome back to this episode of Coffee and Christ.
We're going to have to wrap.
I'm happy to report that it's daylight.
It is.
Because we sprung forward. Is that right?
Yeah. So it's technically, last week it'd be 4:55 instead of 5:55.
I have a really hard time processing how all that works. Like, how do the computers just know? I'm serious. That's a valid question.
They're just magic. I don't know. I guess they're just programmed that way.
I watched a TikTok.
You know that's getting banned?
Why?
Congress passed it. Unless the company that owns it sells it to an American investor because it's a Chinese-based company, it's banned off of all
electronics. What am I supposed to do at night? Sleep?
It was like passed today. Well, Congress passed it. And I don't know when it will take effect, but... Anywho, keep going about your TikTok.
Well, I mean, I watched a TikTok about somebody that works night shift at the hospital. And at 2 a.m., well, 1:59, it just jumped to 3 a.m. The clock. How does it do that? I don't understand. My truck did it by itself.
Really?
My phone? It's crazy.
Just smart. We've gotten real smart with our technology.
Like, is someone sitting in an office somewhere waiting for 1:59 and then just change it now and then everything changes? Like, that would be, I want to do that job. I want to have the power.
You only have to work like 2 days a week.
I know, right?
I mean, 2 days a year.
Anyway, tell us about your week, Jackson.
Me,
what's
just
been going on?
It's been a little bit since we've been back on here because the past, like, what, 2 weeks episodes didn't post, and so, like, we just kind of been catching up, and we've had a little bit, some late nights at the old 9 to 5, and so when we get, like, right now, it's 5:57, and church starts at 6:30, so
33 minutes!
So we do not have long, but it's been good so far. Hopefully next week, I'll have something to report, and it'll be better. So
be on the edge of your seat.
Be on the edge of your seat. We'll see. Dylan, what about you?
Not a lot's been going on for me. Same old, same old.
What's the house update? You're close. Closer.
The house update is that they are painting the ceilings, and I'll get the first coat of paint on tomorrow. Fingers crossed. The nature green that I picked out looks good.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed. But yeah, hopefully I'll be moving in. Hang on.
I looked up nature green and it literally just showed nature green.
A tree.
Yeah, I got a tree.
What color is your walls? They look like trees.
They look like trees. You know, yeah, type in nature green.
How do you get to the calendar? There it is. I hopefully will be moving in approximately 1 month.
That's nice.
And wait. 1 month 1 month and 16 days. That's the goal.
It's not. How do you find that number? Do you just, is that like something that like
the date you want to move in?
Yeah. Well, I was just wondering if that's something you picked out or like that's when everything will be done and that's the earliest you can move in.
I can move in.
Cool.
Like, Sydney finishes landscaping, like, Friday night, and I move in Saturday morning. Like, go time.
That specific. I got
so
you.
So, hopefully. If it all works out, you know, but we'll say in a month or two.
Can't you do, like, a little at a time?
I could, but I don't want to.
Okay.
Like, I'm the type, because, like, my parents built the house, and I felt like we lived in a construction zone for 2 years because like we didn't finish the landscaping and we didn't and there's mounds of dirt in the front yard and we're just like, this is our home now. Like, I think it's because I lived in chaos in September and I just want it to be done.
Right.
So like, I will delay moving in until literally everything is done. Like, there's straw in the yard,
turnkey.
The landscaping's done, the driveway's poured, like, done. So because I just need that in my life.
Well, good.
So, but yeah, hopefully. I'll probably never build a house again. I've not enjoyed the process. I'm not going to lie. If I ever move again, which the odds of that are getting slimmer, because I really just don't like the idea of moving again either. But building a house is not for the weak. And especially is not with someone who has a one-track mind like myself.
Mm-hmm.
It's all I've thought about since September.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure you're excited. I would like to
think about something else. So, yeah. I'm just... And I'm too indecisive. Like, it really scares me to pick paint colors out and granite. And
you can always paint over it, though.
You can't paint over the granite.
That is a little true.
So, like, you pick it out and you're like, oh, I hope that looks good, you know. Because, I mean, it looks... I don't know. I would rather, like, my sister just make all the decisions for the house.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll walk in the front door and be like, home, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And I would be okay with not picking out anything.
Yeah.
And just being like, I love it. Well, you know, I'll pick out the layout, but when it comes to hardwood colors, floor colors, cabinet colors, all that stuff, I would rather just not make the decision. Yeah. Just somebody else decide, and I'll love it.
Well, you can, like, remodel anything except your floors. That's the only thing that would be a pain. So, but just always know. If you don't like it, you'd be like, I guess I'll save up and change it out later.
Well, I'm excited.
You know, so. Well, nice. Excited. A month and 16 days. What day is that? Just because I'm curious.
That will be the end of April.
The end of April?
That's the last day of April.
So
the actual Tuesday. True projected date is the middle of April. But I'm just preparing myself for 2 weeks of...
For the worst.
So I'm just, okay. In my mind, 1 month and 16 days.
Okay. So the 30th.
Like, I'm so cool. Excited. Normally I'm not excited to move, but I'm so excited to put my stuff inside. Because I went to my storage unit like last week to put something in there, and I hadn't opened it in like months, and I was just like, my things, I have stuff. Hey, I forgot I have that coffee table, you know. It's like,
right.
I just can't wait. But anyway, Proverbs chapter
23.
And I have picked out for myself today verse 17. And if I get on a tangent, tell me to stop.
Oh, you got 28 minutes.
But it says, let not your heart envy sinners, but continue in the fear of the Lord all the day. That's it. Very simple verse. But it struck a chord with me. Because, and I myself have been guilty of this, so I don't think I'm talking down to anybody. But the term, hate the sin, love the sinner, hate the sin. We can't fathom that, like, as Christians. Like, we see somebody make a mistake, and, like, we hold it against them forever. Like, forever.
Yeah.
And we hold grudges, and we're mean, and that's just not the way Jesus lived his life.
Yeah.
Ever. Even to the Pharisees, you know. But when we see people make a mistake, we dwell on it. And our heart envies them, whether we want to admit it or not. And we're angry. And that's not good.
Yeah.
And on the flip side of that, you see a sinner living their life, and we're happy, and we want to be like them. Because whatever sin they're living in looks really fun.
Yeah.
And we want to be like them. You know, but there's a fine line in being envious of sinners. And we're all sinners. But, you know, you think about celebrities, and I'm not saying all celebrities live in sin. There's a good number of them that do. Like, you're like, man, look at all that money, look at all that. And we just don't think about the future. We don't think about heaven enough.
Right. Yeah.
And it's not even, you know, if you're a Christian just because you want to go to heaven, like, we'll talk about that another day.
Yeah.
But I mean, obviously we want to. That shouldn't be the only reason. But I mean, you think about being in the presence of God, and that's what we should be focused on, just because that's where we want to be. Not because we want to be, you know, in a paradise, but... We spend so much time nitpicking and being mean and wanting to be them and whatever, and we're not having our focus on just living in the goodness of God during our life.
Yeah. I think it's like we're not even, like, it doesn't get, what's the word here? If somebody's doing something that we perceive as maybe wrong or unrighteous or goes against the Bible, it's not like punished now. And so like we almost like think like, oh, well, this person did this person dirty and they got more money out of it, you know?
Right.
And to me, you know, and to probably a lot of other people, they'd be like, oh, well, that's wrong. You know, you shouldn't have done that. But yet that person's not going to get punished or reap any consequences now. Right. And so like, I agree with you that like, we're too like in the moment, like, well, they did this, so why can't I do this? Mm-hmm. Instead of thinking, well, hey, there's going to be a, you know, there's going to be a time when I did that, well, I'm going to be held against it, you know?
Even in business, it's really easy to be that way in business, where like somebody takes advantage of somebody and, you know, gets away with it. Well, they made an extra 10 grand on a job and you're like, man, I could really use that money.
Yeah.
And all I would have to do is just stop.
Right.
There's reasons why we don't do what we do, but don't hold that against that person. Just move on, but don't dwell on sinners. And that's kind of my whole rant is, it says don't be envious, but I say just don't dwell on them. You know, don't dwell on their mistakes, but don't dwell on their quote-unquote successes either. And just keep on working for the Lord, doing the things that you do, and move on. And I'm going to stop right there, because if I don't, I'll keep talking for the next 24 minutes.
You got time if you want to keep going, if you got some more comments to say.
I'm good. You move on. 24.
Yeah, I jumped to chapter 24. You can read with me. We hope you're also reading along. This, absolutely. You're not just listening to our couple verses and clocking out for the week. We hope that you're studying and kind of getting this spiritual knowledge as well. Verse 11 and 12, it says, "Rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, 'Behold, we did not know this,' does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who keeps watch over your soul know it? And will he not repay man according to his work?" So I take this as, you know, we have a responsibility. You know, we're just not here to goof around or you know, fill in any kind of phrase there. We have a purpose. A very important cause to our lives, or if you don't, then hopefully you'll find it. But this is it. 11 says it clear as day. Rescue those who are being taken away to death. That may not be meaning physical. I kind of take it as more spiritual anyway. And then hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. You know, we're surrounded by people every day who are being taken away to spiritual death and who are stumbling to the slaughter. So I take this as almost, and kind of like 12, like almost kind of is like a smack in the face. Like, you know what you're expected of almost, you know, you've read the scriptures, you have that Holy Spirit in you. You know that Jesus didn't just look at the Pharisees and go, "You're doing great, guys," because he didn't want to cause conflict. And that's a complete opposite. Read Matthew 23. Those woes, I mean, intense. Jesus was there to butt heads, but doing it because he wanted to save them. He wanted to change their ways. And we got to honestly be the same way. Maybe, you know, you're at work and you're like, "Man, this would just make the situation really awkward if I brought this up." Mm-hmm. Sometimes you got to do it. And I'm not saying tomorrow at work or school or wherever stage of life you're in, I'm not saying you go up to somebody and you just be like, "You're wrong. You know, you're bad. If you don't stop doing this, you're going to go to hell." That is not a good approach. But what I am saying is we have to be bold about what we say we believe in. We have to be unashamed of the gospel. So it might not be going and condemning people, but people are being led to spiritual death and stumbling to slaughter every day. And it's up to us to to kind of step in to help them to somehow get them to repent or turn back. You know, that's what the word repent means. And sometimes it can be a lot easier than what I think a lot of people draw it out to be. Evangelism is not that hard. We do make it seem hard because I think we do that because we don't want to do it. We're like, oh man, it's so hard. Why would I? It's better if we leave that to the ministers and the preachers. You know, leave it to them. But it's really not that hard. It's not too hard being kind to people, showing people Jesus' love, watching the way you act around people. It's not easy, but it's doable. Just know that with Jesus, you can do hard things. So that's why this verse stuck out to me. Struck a chord. I'm around people all day who are the exact people who are in 11. And it says at the beginning of verse 11, rescue them. Now, we can't physically do the rescue, but we can direct them to the person who can, Jesus. So that's why I liked 11 and 12.
That's good. Well, I'm 17 and 18. It says, do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and let not your heart be glad when he stumbles, lest the Lord see it and be displeased and turn away his anger from him. So we'll start with the top. Do not rejoice when your enemy falls. You know, that kind of goes along with dwelling, like we talked about a few minutes ago, dwelling about the sins of others. You know.
Bless you.
Excuse me. We all have people we don't get along with, you know, and maybe even people that we call an enemy. I don't know if I have enemies. I think I just have people that, you know.
I think it's like a
we
harsh,
don't get along with everybody.
It's kind of a harsh word.
It is. But maybe you have somebody in your life that they're an enemy.
Yeah.
And it says, don't rejoice when they fall. And here's why I like this. And let not your heart be glad when he stumbles. Everything you do, every move you make, every word you say, yes, your brain processes it, and helps you say it, but your heart is the lifeblood of what you do.
Right.
Not physically. I mean, it is. It pumps blood.
It's important.
But emotionally, spiritually, that is the river of life. And, or could be a river of evil too. But if you have somebody that you don't like, it's really, really easy to be happy when they make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And rejoice, just like the ESV says, rejoice when they fall.
Yeah.
And be happy when they stumble. Guys, that's not what our life is about. You know, we see Jesus in his life, in his ministry, of his quote-unquote people that didn't really like him, you know, that they could probably say they were his enemy. When they make a mistake, you don't see him like, yes, gotcha. You know?
Yeah.
Or, yes, you deserve that, or, you know.
Bless you.
I'm sorry, everybody. I was a little sleepy. But, you know, I think back to when they're coming in to take Jesus after Judas betrays him with a kiss. And, you know, the disciples are upset, specifically Peter. And he goes up and he cuts off the ear of the high priest. And he's just like, you know what? You know, and just cuts his ear off. Number one, don't cut people's ears off if you're angry with them.
Yeah.
It's quite brutal.
I was like, what a...
Living life with one ear. Anyway, like, that's brutal. But Jesus very easily, and every one of us listening to this, including me and Jackson talking, probably would be like, yeah, Peter, like, hyping him up. Like, take that, son.
Whoa!
But that wasn't Jesus' reaction. It was basically, and I'm putting this, paraphrasing and putting it into our own words, Jesus is like, why did you do that? What are you doing? Stop.
Yeah.
And heals him. Picks up his ear. I'm imagining how it looks in my eyes.
Yeah.
Picks up a bloody ear off the floor. Puts it back on. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Because all of us would have picked it up and threw it out the window. Like, huh, go find it now, sucker.
I just think it's funny how those soldiers didn't react differently. They weren't like,
But we have to live our lives. We have to do what we think is right. And we have to move on.
Right.
And it's not about retaliation. It's not about... Because if you're the lifeblood of your spiritual life, your heart, I'm telling you, if it's so easy for the beautiful, clear water to become muddy. And I'm talking about this metaphorical river we're discussing about right now. It's so easy to kick dirt into that. And then before you know it, it is a flowing river of disgust. Instead of pure holiness and love the way Christ expects us to be. And when we have a river flowing of just dirty water, then we're watching every move they make and just hoping they make a mistake. And this one hit me right between the eyes, you know, and if you know me, you probably know why. But, you know, I had a situation yesterday that I was like, yeah, suckers, take that. And I thought about it and I was like, I shouldn't think that way, you know, and we have to keep our heart pure. We have to continue to treat people with love. We have to continue to be kind, like Jackson was saying, and be examples and just know that what you're doing, that you're trying to please the Lord, that you're trying to do good, that you're trying to show grace and mercy and love and radiate that through your heart, and don't let it become muddy, because that is ugly. Nobody wants to be around a person that's like that. And if they do, their heart's probably a little muddy too.
Yeah.
So love your enemies. As hard as it is to do, love them, even if it's from a distance. It probably will be. But you don't have to be their cheerleader, but you don't have to be the biggest bully in the world either. Just do your thing, move on, and continue to pursue joy and love and peace and not anger and despair and agony on them. So that's kind of what we have for you today.
Something short and sweet.
Proverbs 23 and 24. So we hope you're safe. We hope you're enjoying the warm weather if you're living here in the beautiful Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
And we will hopefully talk to you next week, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. You ever heard that?
No, I haven't.
Really?
Really, yeah.
I can remember someone's like, see you next week. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, I'll be there.
Really?
Yeah, you've never heard that?
I've never heard that. I've never heard you say that either.
I've said it a few times, but probably not to you. But
It's probably a select crowd you say
Lord
that to.
Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. I'll be there.
Hopefully we'll be on a normal schedule now.
Well, hopefully we're going to have a big life update from Jackson. In 7 days.
Dun, dun, dun.
Have a great week.
Yep. We love you. Jesus loves you.
Be safe out there and don't be cutting nobody's ear off.
That's not cool.
Bye.
Bye.